Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on WMR.fm, episode number 480. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is my company senior SEO, Scott Fanak. All right, well, we've got lots to share today, and we're going to start off, there's no non-SEO news, so we're going to go right into the SEO news. And I'll start off with content creation, and this is a promising result. Essentially, Google is recognizing content creators much better than they have before. This is based on an article by Jason Barnard on Search Engine Land. And he's recently discovered that knowledge panel subtitles like content creator, and in brackets medicine, as well as content creator, in brackets travel, are showing up in the SERPs underneath author names. This is showing, according to him, Google's explicit identification of individuals as authoritative content creators within specific fields. Now, trying to simplify what he's written here, essentially these updates, along with events from 2023 until now, there's been certain updates and stuff that have been instrumental in helping this, indicate a positive progression towards identifying and rewarding content creators when their author profiles are appropriately designated. Now, what this means is if you have an author profile on your page, you only need to have one. You want one on your main site or your own website. Like I've got rossdunn.com. Some people have different author pages within one page, whatever it might be. And then they link to that from wherever they're writing as their main bio or author page. And if they do that everywhere, Google will start to see that this is a person who is an authority on that topic. They can see their credentials on that page. Everything comes together and Google can understand that you are an authority and you deserve the right to show up in rankings. And that's what appears to be happening here. And Google's starting to really pull all those pieces of the puzzle together. So that's really good news. This is what's going to help with a lot of the work people are doing to try and improve the quality of their blogging sites, any kind of authoritative site on a particular product line, or let's say a person is a surfer, but they didn't do too well during the helpful content update, quote unquote, helpful. Anyway, they would want to be doing this kind of work. They'd want to be pulling all the pieces of the puzzle together, maybe going back to other pieces of content they've written in the past and have people link to their bio page to try and, show Google that there's one entity here that was the writer. And as they do that, their main site will probably see the benefits of that. It's not perfect yet, but this is pretty promising. So good to see. What's next here, Scott?
Yeah, so we spoke, I think it was just in the last show, actually, that there was a bit of an issue going on at Google Search Console, and they have fixed it. So we were talking about how in the performance report in Search Console, they were reporting impressions and clicks for product snippets on sites that don't have products. So clearly that's a bug. Google did write that a logging error affected Search Console reporting on product snippets from August 13th until September 20th. That's a long time to have a bug in place. You think they would have fixed it a bit faster. As a result, you may notice an increase in displayed clicks and impressions during this period for the product snippet search appearance type in the performance report and impressions overlay in the product snippet rich results report. This is just a logging issue, not an actual change in clicks or impressions. So again, you know, you've got over a month of data there that is going to be wrong in that report specifically. So when you see that, ignore it. It's too bad that they can't go back and retroactively fix it, but I guess if it wasn't logged correctly, you can't really make it up. Or maybe you could. Would anybody know? I don't know. Maybe not. Just average out whatever it's been the few months before.
There you go. You're set.
Yeah. So just a quick update there. Nothing super fancy, but at least you know it's fixed. So that's good.
Good. Sadly, Google Search has completely killed the cache feature. Back in January, Google removed the cache link from search results. And the cache operator continued to work, but you had to search for it specifically using the cache, colon, and then the domain. At the time, Google mentioned they would be removing it. Now, It's completely gone. In January, Denny Sullivan said that originally the feature was meant to help people access pages when a page would not load. Now that things have greatly improved and Google feels this feature is no longer necessary, it's gone. This comes about 2 weeks after Google added links to the Wayback Machine, which I guess they're considering the best alternative.
Let them deal with it.
Yeah. So if you're just looking for a view of what a page looked like, the Wayback Machine will work great. However, if you're more interested in seeing how Google views your page, use the URL inspection tool in Google Search Console. That will only work for your own site though, right, Scott?
Yes.
Yeah. So dang it. That takes away yet another thing you can do for competitive research.
Yeah, I know. Just making everything a little bit harder. And I like your example you said before is not having this cache link is going to make it harder to see content behind a paywall if you don't want to pay. I don't think I've done that in a long time. And you mentioned that. It's like, oh, right. Totally used to do that. I don't know if it even still worked anymore. Well,
it doesn't very often. It didn't very often anymore. Most of them had figured that out. But just once in a while, I get so annoyed, I go and try it. But last time I did, there was just no way around it. I couldn't find it. Maybe they'd already removed the operator too because I couldn't get anything to work.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Sad times.
Oh, all well.
Right. Local SEO news. What's this?
Yeah. So Google Maps fake review notice on business profile. So Google is now placing a warning on some Google business profile listings within Google Maps when it thinks some reviews are fake or fraudulent. So Google may do one of three main things here. They may, the business profile will not be able to receive new reviews or ratings for a set period of time. The business profile's existing reviews or ratings may be unpublished for a set period of time, or the business profile will display a warning to let customers know that fake reviews were removed. If they're accurate, I think this is great because fake reviews are frustrating as heck. I don't know how good they will be at identifying fake reviews. I mean, we definitely see cases where, I don't know, say a video goes viral and there's a company in it and they're the ones that are bad in the video. And then that company gets bombarded with sometimes hundreds or thousands of reviews instantly, bad or good in some cases, I suppose. But I think they're pretty good at finding that stuff already. So it's probably going to be more people buying reviews or... I don't know, but
you know what this is going to totally create though? A major problem, negative SEO.
Yes.
Companies will say, you know, for this amount of money, I won't post fake reviews on your profile.
You get your army of fake review, well, AI bots.
Oh yeah. It would easily harm people and dollars to donuts. Google has not considered this and poor companies are going to get nailed because fake reviews are being created. And a competitor can easily do this to one of its own competitors and just laugh. And you know it's going to happen if it hasn't already done so.
It would be so easy. Like it absurd and not even expensive. There's so many cheap companies overseas and all over the place that will just, I need a million reviews. You don't even have to worry about the number because you're not trying, you're trying to get banned. So you get as many as you possibly can. Yeah.
It's terrifying. I do not want to see how this is going to shake out. And I pray that Google has considered this because it is a glaring issue. Glaring. But they're so juvenile when it comes to management of local SEO that I have very little faith. And I think this is just going to blow up. I really, really hope not. Enough businesses have been hurt by this lackadaisical approach to managing Google business, local businesses. So just pray.
So you are very optimistic about,
yes.
about this change.
You nailed it. Yeah. I'm sure Google will do a fantastic job.
I can read between the lines. I'm good at that.
You know, it's just like links. You know, when people were using that to nail other clients, they could easily go through and create hundreds of thousands of fake links to someone's site as negative SEO and they would feel it. Granted, that was at the beginning. It's harder to do now, but this is the beginning of this. So you just know it's just going to be a shitstorm.
I look forward to seeing examples of it. No, I'm not really, but you know, I kind of do. I want to see it in action so we can talk about it. It gives us something
just
to
hopefully
discuss.
Not on our clients, please.
No. Yeah. Skip our clients. Do other people's clients, please.
Our clients are decent, hardworking people that do not deserve anything like this. So I hope
if they do hit our client, so or they hit you, and you feel that you know you've been affected in error, you can appeal it. And if you take a look at our show notes, it's a long URL. I'm not going to try to say it. It's got underscores and stuff in it. Anyways, there will be a link in the show notes for how to appeal it. A simple Google search would probably bring it up as well. So
yeah, just the search, because the actual page name is this, is probably just look for submit your business profile for review. And just to search for that, and you should find it, no problem. And on another note, you know, I'm frustrated as heck about the filtering systems they have on Google Business Profiles, because I know for a fact we've had a number of clients leave very positive reviews on our business profiles, and our business profile, I should say, and none of them appeared. What the hell? It's hard enough to get good, solid, authentic reviews, but how do they reward us? But not showing it. It's infuriating. Loving Google right now. Okay.
They're our friend. Yeah.
A small thing here, but the Google Blue Map Pin and City Name on search results snippets. There's been some changes there. With some searches below the listing, Google is now showing a blue map pin along with city name. An example provided by Barry Schwartz shows a search for, quote, sunglasses. One listing in the results is for sunglasshut.com, and below the listing is a blue pin, a city name, and distance away. Also, whether or not it's open or closed. Some handy additions there. Guess we'll see how long those last.
And typical, I haven't seen it in the wild yet, but it's kind of like a mix. It's kind of neat because it's a bit of local thrown into the regular SERPs without all the maps and things. And I don't know, it might be helpful for some people.
In a way, it's a good example of how local does affect organic, and yes, vice versa. There is a definite connection there, and I've heard people argue.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Otherwise, but it's so clear and it made sense back then. So I just went with that. Because a lot of over the years of doing SEO, the one thing that's always stood the test of time, with the exception of Google Business Profiles, I guess, because nothing makes sense there, is that what made sense was the way they went with. Even if they didn't do it right away, like, for example, when you said at the time that from the beginning, Google should have just ignored bad links instead of penalizing people for them, because it opened a window to negative reviews. Or negative, I was thinking reviews again now, negative links causing, you know, lots of problems. Well, they finally did do that. And it was the way they should have done it, but nobody wanted to play the police and hurt businesses that could very well have been nailed by a competitor. And in a way, they should just do the same thing with these reviews. If they feel they're fake, they should just remove them and not penalize people for this. That way they're wasting money. And that's what they're going to do next. I bet that's what they're going to do.
We'll be talking about it in 6 months from now.
If we're lucky, because that took years for the links to do that.
6 years from now. Tune into episode 1063, where we will talk about that in the future.
Terrifying. All right, let's take a quick break. When we jump back, we're going to get into some AI news.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WMR.fm, hosted by myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company's senior SEO, Scott Fanak. All right, new data. Google AI overviews show more often to signed-in users. This is a study from BrightEdge. Why don't you follow through on that?
Yeah, so they did a study of, I thought I had how many. I think it was something like a million websites or a million search terms. And they found that AI overviews are triggered 10 to 20% less for signed out users. So if you want to see more AI overviews, you better sign in. This does vary by industry. And this kind of caught me off guard a little bit. I found it interesting. E-commerce queries trigger AI overviews 90% less for signed out users. So if you're not signed in, you're not likely to see an e-commerce review, which is, you know, it was pretty much in the 10 to 20% across the board with all industries except e-commerce. So that's kind of interesting. AI overview citations are being decreased for consumer-focused media and blogs and increasing for specialized, expert, authoritative, and trustworthy domains. One example that was listed in the Search Engine Land article was in healthcare, they found verywellhealth.com saw a decline in citations, where arthritis.org saw a substantial increase. And, you know, kind of makes sense. Arthritis.org, I've heard of it, even though I've never been there. Verywellhealth.com, I'm not familiar with that one.
That's so, a cheesy domain. Oh my God.
I love that that's their example. And I'm
going to start feelinggreathealth.com. Yeah,
that's right. I didn't look in detail at the study itself, so I'm guessing that it's listed as one of the domains that they've discovered in the study, because it's pretty random. Well, seems random to me, but anyways, it's just some more evolution at AI overviews, really.
My, well, that perfect dovetail is another article from Search Engine Roundtable. This is about a study from SEO Clarity. Shows that 96% of Google AI overviews link to informational intent pages, which is really close to what you were mentioning there. In this case, informational was 96.5%. Informational/transactional was 1.79%. Transactional 1.2%. Navigational 0.4%. I'm surprised any navigational show up, but this helps to illustrate how high quality informational pages on your site are a great supplement to other product or service oriented pages. So do keep writing great content and you have a better chance of showing up in AI overviews, which you may think, why, what's all this fuss about AI overviews? Why do we care? It's the first thing that's appearing at top of search results. It's become number one. It doesn't always appear, but when it does, if you can be there, that's a great thing. And frankly, if Google feels that you deserve to be there, they're also paying attention to you and they're seeing that you're an authority on that topic, which leads to better results elsewhere. So it's a win-win-win, pain in the ass, but a win-win-win. Okay. Oh, I love this. This is a fantastic article. So as a Mueller file here, Google shows how to use alt text for SEO. Now, question asked via Reddit. Image alt text in the era of computer vision. Are image alt text still relevant for SEO with all the computer vision and images recognition advancement? Is there any info of Google or other search engines using machine learning models to crawl images rather than relying on the user provided alt text? Pardon all the poor grammar there. I read it as it was written. John Mueller. For image search, there's the context that also to the context that comes from the page plus image combination that matters. A photo of a beach might be a relaxing poster. It might be the beach from a hotel. It could be the site of a chemical spill. Just knowing that the image of a beach doesn't really give sufficient background information to be able to show it in an image search appropriately. A lot of it does come from the page, and the alt text is unique in that it's what directly connects the image to the page with context. Unless your site is a photo agency, traffic for photo of a beach isn't going to be that useful. But for a hotel, having hotel with beach in X can be relevant. Again, a lot of that can come from the rest of the page. But the alt attribute value is a unique opportunity to give context. And with that, if you use AI to create alt text based on the image file and get photo of a beach as the alt text for that image, you're not getting the most out of the alt text, both for users and search engines. Unquote. Loved that analogy of the chemical spill versus a beach at a hotel. Perfect. And it's very true. And I think a lot of people do get hung up on the SEO aspects of alt attribute optimization. They just think photo up beach. But yeah, there is more context. I would normally, if it was just a photo of a beach in front of a hotel, I'd still put the name of the beach there. And yeah, I'd say absolutely. By hotel name, whatever, right? That just makes good sense. Anyway, being more descriptive is not going to hurt you as long as you're not going crazy.
Yeah, you don't have 400 words of alt text on every image, but yeah, you know, a full sentence, there's nothing wrong with a sentence. It used to be like 6 words max, but we're past that now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, again, be brief if you can, and just add detail, make it useful. What's next?
All right. So Google has confirmed with a person on Reddit, well, John Mueller has confirmed, that it is okay to ignore spam score. So I'm going to read this question via Reddit the way Ross read the other one. And any grammar problems are not my doing. This one I don't think is quite as bad. My site is less than 6 months old with less than 60 blog posts. I was checking with some tool. It says I have 302 links and 52 referring domains. My worry is on the spam score. How should I go about reducing the score, or how much is the bad spam score? So how much what? How bad is the bad spam score? Anyways, so John replied and he said, I kind of agree with this, obviously, so it's good to hear it coming from him. I wouldn't worry about the spam score. Google doesn't use these spam scores. You can do with them as you want. They're not going to change anything for your site. I'd recommend taking the time and instead making a tiny part of your website truly awesome and then working out what it would take to make the rest of your website like that. The spam score tells you nothing in that regard. Ignore it. We've been saying this for a while and some people will still have clients come to us and wonder if they need to be disavowing their bad links and things like that. And my answer is almost always no. I'll say just ignore the bad links, worry about getting good links, worry about good content, worry about, you know, other SEO aspects and other business aspects you've got to deal with. In extreme cases, maybe I would disavow them, but even then, I don't know.
Well, and we've already heard that the disavow tool is not being used.
Oh, right. Is that how often I do it? I forgot.
Yeah. So I wouldn't bother that. I mean, if you were really concerned, I wouldn't bother disavowing. I would just try to remove them if you're really that concerned. But your better efforts would be towards creating better links. Just ignore the other ones and outweigh them with quality. Yeah. That's your best approach. So, yeah. Yeah, I'm glad that John said that. I mean, sometimes we have to take it with a grain of salt when Google says to ignore something, but that's, you know, just an indicator from a tool. And if you didn't know you had bad links, it might be something to wake you up a bit. And that's a good thing. But yeah, don't take it too seriously.
Yeah, usually the only time I look at bad links is not so much to find if the bad links are having a negative effect, but rather to see if volumes of good links are really there or not. Like, so if I see that a client has 1,000 links and then I discover after diving deeper that 900 of them are bad, well, really you only have about 100 links is the way I look at it. So if they're trying to compare against your competitors, you might want to look at how many good links they have versus how many good links you have and try to filter out the bad ones. Tools like SEMrush makes it super easy. Like you can just see those numbers. You don't have to do any math or calculations or digging. It's just right there. So, look at that number more than your total inbound links. Look at the number of inbound good links, and you should be fine.
Perfect. Well, on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company senior SEO, Scott Vanak, thank you for joining us today. Remember, we have a show notes newsletter you can sign up for at SEO101radio.com, where you'll get the link we mentioned earlier and a few other really interesting tidbits and ways to refresh your memory of a past show. If you have any questions you'd like to share with us, please feel free to post them on our Facebook group, easily found by searching SEO 101 Podcast on Facebook. If you go there, you'll actually notice that when people ask questions, we're posting when we've answered them in which episode. So we're there, we are responsive, and we'd love to have your questions. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air every week on WMR.fm.
Great. Thank you for listening, everybody.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.